John Marjoba, Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's lovely Lower Haight, just four blocks from Painted Ladies. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of January, 2015. On this date in 1506, the first contingent of 150 Swiss guards arrives at the Vatican. 1905, Bloody Sunday massacre in St. Petersburg. 1924, Ramsay MacDonald becomes the first Labour Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. 1957, Israel withdraws from the Sinai Peninsula. 1970, the Boeing 747, the world's first jumbo jet, makes its first commercial flight, Pan Am JFK to Heathrow. 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court issues the Roe Wade decision, making abortion legal in all 50 states, at least so far, kind of. 1980, Sakharov is arrested in Moscow. 2006, Evo Morales is inaugurated as president of Bolivia, becoming the country's first indigenous president. Birthdays are Walter Raleigh, Lord Byron, Francis Bacon, Edward Harkness of table fame, Sam Cooke, John Hurt, and Malcolm McLaren. Queen Victoria died on this date in 1901, and Lyndon Johnson died on this date in 1973. By the way, if you haven't seen it, see Selma, fantastic movie about Martin Luther King's famous march. LBJ figures prominently and is unfortunately portrayed not so accurately from my point of view, but it's still a great movie and worth seeing. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra article this week is about how Azerbaijan has become a dictatorship. It's now official. What that means for Georgia, if anything. Thanks again for those posting to our forum, although nobody actually did. Pretty slim pickings there the last few weeks in terms of posts. So first interesting question we get that's not mean or snarky, we'll get a free lifetime subscription to FieldPod.com. That's a once-in-a-lifetime offer. Don't pass it up. Those who aren't first with the question will have a random drawing of other questions and comments that are posted, so get those in there. Nice ones. Anything you want to say. Extra points for pleasantness. You'll get more than one lifetime subscriptions then, I guess, maybe. Go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. On the 20th of January, Yuri Vazagashvili, whose son was killed in a controversial police operation in 2006, was killed by an explosion while visiting his son's grave. Evidently, it was a plant that had an explosive device in it. Prosecutor's office has launched an investigation under Article 109 of the Criminal Code, dealing with cases of premeditated murder. Vazagashvili's relatives, friends, and lawyers have already suggested that there's a link between the explosion and Vazagashvili's long-running efforts to seek punishment for law enforcement officers whom he says used excessive force during the operation in which his son and another young man were killed. His son, Zurab Vazagashvili, and Alexandre Kubilov were killed by police armed with machine guns while driving in central Tbilisi on the 2nd of May 2006. Police claimed that they responded with fire only after shots were fired from inside the car with the two men. But an alternative ballistic investigation commissioned at the time by the Public Defender's Office established there were no shots from the car. In April 2007, the authorities closed the investigation into allegations that police used excessive force. However, the Vazagashvili's family has kept on campaigning, accusing authorities of fabricating evidence and covering up the case to prevent punishment for the law enforcement officers involved. In 2007, the family also took the case to the European Court of Human Rights. The authorities reopened the investigation after the change in government in late 2012. In a press conference last week, Yuri Vazagashvili said that some of the law enforcement officers who were part of the operation that killed his son were still working for the Interior Ministry and blamed Minister Alexandre Chikaidze of protecting them. Dozens of people gathered late Tuesday night, the 20th of January, outside the old parliament in Tbilisi, demanding an immediate investigation into Yuri Vazagashvili's death. Prime Minister Khadivashvili said in a statement that he is shocked by Vazagashvili's death. He called on law enforcement agencies to immediately investigate the case and complete the investigation into the son's case as soon as possible. President Georgi Margvelashvili also released a statement expressing condolence over the death of Vazagashvili and expressing hope that an investigation will establish the truth in a timely fashion. On the 21st of January, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili met with Chief Prosecutor to discuss the two investigations. He also stressed the political and public importance of a prompt investigation. As of the 22nd, today, over 30 people have been questioned about Vazagashvili's death. They are also investigating the type of explosive that was used, saying that it was military level and a professional hit. On the 19th of January, hundreds of people from the local Muslim Kist community in the Pankisi Gorge gathered with the vision of Duisi to protest against the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad published by the French magazine Charlie Hebdo. According to one poster, this is an insult to every Muslim. Such an insult is strictly punished. Another protester noted that, quote, killing people and terrorism is not right. What we are asking is to keep hands off our Prophet. End quote. Some were also saying that Charlie Hebdo itself was responsible, accusing it of provoking the attack. Same day in Grozny, Chechnya, tens of thousands of people attended a state-sponsored demonstration against caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov spoke to the rally and criticized the West, suggesting that moral flaws were the root cause of the Islamist militant attacks in Paris and that Western governments are fanning Muslim anger for their own geopolitical gain. A few days earlier, on the 17th of January, the Georgian Orthodox Church condemned the Muhammad cartoons. Their statement also said that the state is obliged to protect, quote, limits to freedom of expression, end quote, in order to protect the rights of believers against insults to their religious feelings. It said that the cartoons aimed at insulting Muslims' religious feelings, like lynching and terrorism, have no justification, no matter the motives. The consequences of such actions may turn disastrous, not only for a country, but for the entire region and the world. And so the state is obliged to protect limits to freedom of expression in order to defend other internationally recognized human rights, end quote. After the 7th of January attack in Paris, Ilya II sent a letter of condolence to French President François Hollande, condemning the terrorist act. Also, as a note, in late 2013, the Interior Ministry proposed a draft law offering to add insult of religious feelings clause to the Code of Administrative Offenses, but the proposal was dropped, thank the Lord above. It also said that the state should provide for limits to freedom of expression in order to protect the rights of believers. The European Union Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy and Enlightenment Negotiations, and sorry, enlargement negotiations, Johannes Hahn, visited Georgia on the 5th to the 16th of January. It was his first visit since he assumed the office in November 2014. The object of the visit was to support the implementation of the EU-Georgia Association Agreement and to discuss the Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga in May, according to his office. He met with President Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Khadabashvili, Foreign Minister Tomrigo Berejashvili, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Supashvili, as well as parliamentary minority group members and civil society groups. Commissioner Hahn and Prime Minister Khadabashvili signed a deal in which the EU will give Georgia a support grant worth 44.5 million euros to help implement the deep and comprehensive free trade area and for promoting private sector development. Hahn gave a speech at Tbilisi State University. He spoke about the benefits of the association agreement. He noted the importance of informing society about the challenges that the association agreement with the EU could bring and that the Georgian government, quote, is really working hard to fulfill the necessary, end quote, the necessary criteria for achieving visa-free travel rules with the EU. He urged Georgia to remain focused on the key challenges of implementing the association agreement over the coming years. He said that it is the citizens who need to be proactive and mobilized to help move the country forward and to ensure Georgian public opinion remains the most pro-European among the Eastern partners. Foreign Minister Berejashvili also spoke alongside the EU Commissioner, alongside EU Commissioner Hahn at Tbilisi State. She said that the EU's unity and firmness, including maintaining sanctions against Russia, is the best strategy in the face of Moscow's increasing pressure and aggression in the EU's Eastern Partnership region. Just an FYI, Georgia has not joined sanctions against Russia. The EU is expected to conclude its assessment of how Georgia is implementing the second phase of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan in March. Another Georgian died in the war in Ukraine. 36-year-old Tamaz Sukhiashvili was killed in the battle for Donetsk Airport in the village of Pisky on the 17th of January, fighting on Kiev's side. Three other Georgians were slightly wounded in the same battle. Sukhiashvili was from the village near Khashuri, has two children. According to his family, he served in Georgia's armed forces until 2012 and participated in missions in both Iraq and Afghanistan. This was the third reported case of a Georgian fatality fighting in Ukraine. Alexandre Grigolashvili, who fought on the Ukrainian side, was killed in combat in the town Shastya in the Luhansk region in December 2014. Shalva Bukhaidze, fighting on the side of the Russian-backed separatists, died in eastern Ukraine earlier in the month. On the 21st of January, Sukhiashvili's body was mourned in Kiev before being flown back to Georgia. On the 12th of January, a family in the Armenian city of Gyumri was found dead in their home. They were killed by a Russian soldier from the Russian military base near Gyumri who left the base at night. The murdered family were grandparents, daughter, son, his wife, and their child. Their six-month-old child survived the initial attack but was in critical condition with stab wounds and died a few days later. The soldier was apprehended by Russian authorities near the Turkish border the next day. The attack has sparked angry protests in Yerevan and Gyumri. Many Armenians are demanding the soldier be transferred to Armenian custody for trial. Russia has announced that he will be tried in Armenia, but by a Russian military court. On the 17th of January, people gathered in front of the Armenian embassy in Tbilisi to express solidarity with their neighboring country. They carried Georgian and Armenian flags, brought flowers, lit candles. OSCE Parliamentary Assembly Secretary General Spencer Oliver was on an official visit to Tbilisi the 17th and 18th of January, met with Georgian leadership, senior lawmakers, discussed recent political and security developments. He noted that, quote, while world leaders focus on efforts to resolve the crisis in Ukraine, no one should overlook that Georgia, too, has its territorial integrity breached, end quote. Georgia will host the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly's annual session in 2016, in which 320 lawmakers from the organization's 57 participating states will attend. The Estonian-Georgian film Tangerines was nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. The ceremony will be on the 22nd of February. The film is competing against Polish film Ida, Russia's Leviathan, which is supposedly great, Argentina's Wild Tales, Mauritania's Timbuktu. It's directed by Zaza Urushadze. International competitions. The film is represented by Estonia since there was more Estonia financing involved and the producer is Estonian. Georgia will join the European Union advisory mission in Ukraine, according to Foreign Minister Tomiko Berezashvili. NATO Deputy Secretary General Alexander Vershbo will visit Georgia in the final weeks of February, according to the State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration. He'll discuss the state leaders Georgia's implementation of the substantial package NATO offered at the Wales Summit in September 2014. Is that an official thing? Substantial package? Like, is that really what it's called? Can somebody clarify that for us? I mean, man, they should have focus grouped that thing. Prime Minister Kadabashvili is attending the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, which began on the 20th of January, and he's expected to meet with other leaders on the sidelines of the forum. He's accompanied by the economy minister, foreign minister, and CEO of the Georgian Co-Investment Fund, Georgi Bichiashvili, the head of the Georgian National Investment Agency, and the director general of Georgian Railways. Following up on last week's story on nominating a new Supreme Court chair, on the 15th of January, President Mark Velashvili met with NGO representatives who are part of the group Coalition for an Independent and Transparent Judiciary. They exchanged views on the criteria that should be used to select a candidate. Earlier, the group called on the president to ensure a transparent and inclusive process of selecting a new chairperson. Kaja Kocharidze, the president's new advisor for justice and human rights issues, said the president will continue consultations and meetings with civic organizations and political groups. As a reminder, the 10-year term of the incumbent chairman of the Supreme Court, Kote Kubalashvili, will expire in late February. The president has to nominate a candidate, which will then require the endorsement of at least 76 MPs. Ukraine's new Deputy Minister of Internal Affairs, former Georgian Deputy Minister Ekis Guladze, is introducing new reforms in Ukraine's notoriously corrupt state automobile inspectorate, which will merge with the regular police. The reforms will start in Kiev first and then in other cities. She said the reforms are being supervised by the U.S. government. Guladze announced a two-week campaign starting on the 19th of January to recruit for the police patrolling force. New policemen between the ages of 25 and 31 will do a six-month training course. Current officers will be screened before their contracts are renewed. Salaries will be higher, between 6,000 to 7,000 hryvnia a month, which is about $400. Defense Minister John Elize and the Interior Minister Chaidze visited Spain this week to meet with their Spanish counterparts. According to the Interior Ministry, the two countries will sign an agreement on cooperation in the fight against crime. Chaidze is accompanied by his deputy, chief of criminal police department, and the head of the National Central Bureau of Interpol. Following up on last week's story, the government wants to sell the university tower in Batumi that was built by Misha's government. They said the reason for selling it is that it is unsuitable for a university. Education Minister Tamar Sanikidze says the building doesn't comply with educational standards. Misha supporters claim the real reason is that the technical university has symbolic importance for the UNM and held a demonstration against the decision on the 19th of January. UNM representatives say that getting rid of the tower, which cost 40 million lari to build with a lot of American financing, is a personal initiative of BI. The UNM is completely BSing on this. The tower is just another crazy boondoggle by the UNM and has no real purpose and really is not suitable for a university. It just doesn't really make any sense. And somebody built it. The UNM has tried to get the U.S. universities to put their technical university in there when it was under the Millennium Challenge thing. Nobody really wanted it to go there, but I don't know. They had this building and didn't know what else to do with it. It made no sense. The government is considering using the building for a hotel. They would construct a new technical university elsewhere that would be 20 times better than Misha's, according to Prime Minister Garabashvili. Deputy Economy Minister Dmitry Kumsiashvili said that the building of the technical university in Batumi will be put up for auction as it is non-operational. The money from the sale will be transferred to the state. An investor, whom the deputy minister didn't name, suggested $25 million as a starting price. Meanwhile, professors from the South Florida University visited Tbilisi to discuss a possible cooperation with a future technological university, which the government plans to build via BI's Kartu Charity Foundation. They said they'd be interested in enrolling Georgian students in master's and doctoral programs at South Florida University. Following up on last week's story, a 77-year-old man who went missing in the village of Ergneti next to South Ossetia was found dead on the 15th of January. His family thought he might have gotten lost and then caught by Russian soldiers, but South Ossetia representatives didn't confirm that he'd been detained. His body was found on farmland, according to preliminary information. He froze to death. On the 20th of January, the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism organized by the UMM held a regular field meeting at Ergneti between the Georgian and Ossetian sides. They discussed how to bring home the body of a 19-year-old boy who was recently found dead in South Ossetia after missing for 6 months. It seems the transfer of the body will be delayed by a few weeks because of forensic investigations allegedly going on in Skhinvali. On the lari, as of today, the 22nd of January, some commercial banks now sell one U.S. dollar for two lari. Bank of Georgia and Bank of Republic, while TBC and Liberty Bank, it's 199 and 198, respectively. EBRD and the EU are introducing a joint program to help small and medium enterprises in Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine get loans needed to upgrade their production facilities and take advantage of new trade opportunities with the EU via the DCFTA. The program will provide financing to local entrepreneurs through the EU grant of 10 million euros, which will be used to guarantee at least 69 million euros of EBRD financing, targeting many medium-sized companies with individual investments between half a million and 10 million euro. EBRD's annual meeting and business forum will be held in Tbilisi this year from the 13th to the 15th of May. Almost 1,500 business representatives from more than 60 countries will participate. Ministry of Energy denied they are having talks with Suchumi about the Ergneti hydropower plant, The Inguri dam's generators are located on the Abkhaz side, and its arch dam is located on the Georgian side. According to longstanding informal agreement between Tbilisi and Suchumi, 40% of the electricity generated by the plant goes to Abkhazia, the other 60% to Georgia. On the 15th of January, the head of the Abkhaz state-owned energy company, Chernomorengo, said that while the dam is not in Abkhaz state ownership, they are negotiating with the Georgian side to resolve the issue. The energy ministry responded that they are not having talks and that the Inguri HPP is located on the territory of Georgia and it belongs to the Georgian state. A Georgian citizen fighting with Daesh in Syria, 27-year-old Tamaz Chakhilidze from Batumi, threatened Georgian Christians on his social media page addressing, quote, all Georgian cappers who did anything against Islam and Muslims in NATO missions, end quote. It gets better. He says they remember everything, every fact. They know every name and every action. And so, quote, you will pay for this, all of you, with your dirty kaffir blood. Do not dare to lay a hand on any Muslim brother or any mosque or anything that concerns Islam, because one day when black flags are raised above Georgia, you will have nowhere to run. You will beg on your knees and this will be shown on TV. You rats will regret ever being born. We will raise so much hell over your patriarchy's oppression of Ajara that you robe-wearing rats will regret not being born as reptiles. I swear on Allah's name that all you kafirs will pay with your dirty blood for everything. The only chance civilians have is to accept Islam and bow to the caliphate. Wow. End quote. This is real. This is not a Michael Bay movie. So, TwheelPod.com listeners, please take a moment to bow to the caliphate just to be safe. You know, with wackos like this dude around, you can never be too sure. According to the Russian website, newsru.com, highly authoritative, the Armenia has applied to UNESCO to recognize 450 churches located in Georgia as Armenian. The Russian site quotes a reliable source, that's how it's referred to, in Baku, who said that Armenian historians practiced falsification for centuries. Georgia's Ministry of Culture said that while UNESCO is the correct body to give recommendations as to how to preserve a historical site, it is not the right agency to decide who the site belongs to. Following up on previous week's story, the body of the priest Ilya Kartozia, who died in the Norman Atlantic ferry disaster in December, was brought back to Georgia this week. He was posthumously awarded an order of honors by President Margvelashvili for courage with his attempts to save people on board. The body was brought to Samepa Cathedral in Tbilisi. Ilya II conducted the funeral. Orthodox Christians in Georgia and across the world celebrated Epiphany on the 19th of January. The Georgian Orthodox Church held a mass baptism and water blessing rituals. It's a public holiday in Georgia. Prosecutor's Office awarded U.S. Embassy Police Advisor Michael Wilson a certificate of appreciation for his contribution to the development of the Prosecutor's Office. In 2014, U.S. Embassy organized a number of trainings for Georgian prosecutors and interrogations, interviewing witnesses, and investigating domestic crimes. Georgian film Blind Dates played at the Beaux-Arts Cinema in Belgium on the 11th of January. Beaux-Arts Cinema celebrated its 10th anniversary with a four-day film festival. Blind Dates is directed by Levon Khovachvili, by the way, whose brother used to be a member of parliament. Human fossils dating back 1.8 million years were found in Dmanisi will be exhibited in Israel in the Upper Galilee Museum of Prehistory. The display was initiated by the Israel-Georgia Chamber of Business, Israel House in Tbilisi, and the National Museum. The fossil skulls are of Homo georgicus, an extinct species of hominid that lived between Homo habilis and Homo erectus. The skeletons were named, of course, Zezva and Mzia. The Social Care Center for Persons with Disabilities opened in Tel Aviv, funded by the Embassy of Japan. Under the project, the center will was substantially renovated to provide a safe and comfortable environment for more than 200 beneficiaries. In Brazil, Sao Paulo recently hosted a Georgian film festival where five Georgian movies were screened from the 7th to the 19th of January, covering the periods 1929 to 2012. President Margvelashvili has declared 2015 the Year of Women. He discussed the idea at a meeting at the presidential palace with female military service women, politicians, public figures, diplomats, women with disabilities, and organizations of public charities to overcome inequality and domestic violence. He said the starting point is to encourage women's engagement in politics. Meanwhile, the government declared 2015 as the year of the fight against hepatitis C. In parliamentary news, Parliament's still on holiday break. Deputy Minister Baramidze of the Committee of Civil Integration proposed a wave of administrative fines received between the 1st of January 2015 for not having bus tickets. He proposed waiving the administrative fines. He said that a lot of people were fined, over 20,000. It will cost the state too much to listen and process every case. Some condemned the move, saying that if they do that, people will continue to disregard the law. The committee members agreed to bring the issue to a parliamentary vote. The Ministry of Justice will propose a new juvenile justice code. They've drafted the assistance from UNICEF. Currently, there isn't a separate juvenile criminal code. According to the new law, youth offenders will have a reduced pretrial detention period from 60 to 40 days. A youth offender's conviction status will be removed as soon as their sentence period is finished. The period of beginning class of being classed as an accused will be extended up to 6 months. There will also be changes in penalties. Life imprisonment will be replaced by house arrest. Imprisonment will be used only when it is strictly necessary, particularly for severe crimes where a youth is sentenced to 10 to 15 years. Life imprisonment for juveniles will be prohibited. The new draft law also envisages long-term goals. Currently, one of the main problems of juvenile justice in Georgia is that there are no separate facilities for juvenile prisoners. They're just put in regular prisons with adult prisoners, which doesn't meet the requirements of the UN Convention and the Rights of the Child. They're still discussing what to do to solve this, just for now acknowledging the problem. A good first step. Draft law will be sent to the government on the 10th of February for review, and then Parliament will discuss it. In Kvitisaz Rebbe this week, there have not been any, because in late December 2014, a bunch of Maestro TV journalists and staff resigned. Tpilpod contacted Maestro for more information, but they couldn't. They said they couldn't say more on the status of the show. The meme this week is a photo of a collapsed El Bakidze Street in Tbilisi behind the Radisson. Residents said that there was water leakage before. They've been asking the Georgian Water and Power Company to fix it for ages, but they did not, and now the road's collapsed. Stuff to read. Tom Duvall from Carnegie writes on South Ossetia's impending treaty with Russia. Quite good. Seth Mendel writes for commentary and reaction to the South Ossetian treaty, what it says about Putin's and Obama's policies. For Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Joanna Parazuk continues to track Daesh. She reports that a Russian official blames Georgia for the phenomenon of Chechen fighters in it because the Kis and Pankizi were trained by the Georgian army, which was trained by the U.S. Luke Coffey in Medium contemplates another region Russia might take over. Armenian populated Samska Javakheti destabilizes Georgia, creates a possible land corridor to Armenia. CRC's blog looks at social status through the lens of the oft-heard taxi driver story about the economic transition. Of all places, the Winnipeg Free Place has a travel piece on Georgia, things they took an effort to note, but which is totally the norm in Georgia, at the Stalin Museum. Quote, the washrooms were a disgrace and many lights highlighting the exhibitions were burned out. That's a quote. They charmingly ascribe that to the Georgians' contempt for Stalin. Interview with Neil McFarland on regional dynamics in the South Caucasus. He is a very smart guy. It's worth reading and quite interesting about the regional stuff, which is, you know, everybody knows about Russia and America and Europe, but this is interesting on some of the regional dynamics. Worth reading. IWPR on Russia's ruble crisis and how it's hitting Abkhazia. Georgian Journal discusses new fines for littering. All these stuff will be posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 2%. How much exports from Georgia decreased in 2014 compared to the previous year? According to Geostat, it's mostly caused by decreasing re-export of vehicles. There's a 6.1 year-on-year decline in export in the third quarter of 2014, a further dip by 20.5% in the final 3 months of 2014 year-on-year. Tiflis Hamkari is organizing a protest against Panorama Tbilisi on Saturday, the 21st of January at 3 p.m., Freedom Square. Everybody go on by. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tpilpod@gmail.com. Post to the forum on our website, www.tpilpod.com, for fabulous prizes. And we will finish with, live from the Copa, 1964, on his birthday, this is Sam Cooke.
I'm back. Amen. 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 Tell you something, children, this little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I let it shine. Let it shine to show my lover. I'm gonna tell you that everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. And everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah.
it shine. I'm letting it shine. Let it shine to show my lover. I got to tell you that even in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. And even in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah. Even in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. I let it shine. I let it shine to show my lover. Shine. I think I see my neighbor coming. I better let it shine. Yeah. When I see my neighbor coming, I'm gonna let it shine. I let it shine. Let it shine. To show my love. How I like to say. I wonder what everybody joined me on the last chorus. Everybody, hey, amen, a little.